welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who is currently chomping on some certs. It's Tom Trezor.
And then I've got my nose spray.
So today you and I are pitting Drop Zone and Terminal Velocity, two 1994 skydiving films, against each other. And in Terminal Velocity, there's a scene with James Gandolfini and Charlie Sheen where they are just standing together waiting for Natasha Kinski's character, Krista, to show up. And in this scene, it's just 30 seconds of them chomping on certs. And it might be one of my favorite cinematic moments ever. I mean, this is the rosebud of moments. We're just two guys standing around together eating certs. And what sells it is when James Gandolfini goes, "Don't take them all." So James Gandolfini loves to chomp on certs. He offers some to Charlie Sheen. Then he gets mad when Charlie takes too many.
It's such a weird, like, tick that James Gandolfini's character has developed, you know, to like try to curb his fake nervousness, as you could call it. So he's got like the certs, he's got the eye drops, and he's got the nose sprays, and he's doing everything he can to milk everything with this character for what little is given to him in the script.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, so I don't know, back in the day when Steve McQueen had small roles, like in The Magnificent Seven, he'd be in the background tinkering with his guns and hat the entire time to try to get attention on him. And in this one, Gandolfini is just all quirks. He is just the big glasses, the mousy demeanor. I love it. But then
the huge trench overcoat.
And then you flip it around, and Christopher McDonald in Terminal Velocity just screams the entire time. And he
screams and he hits things.
And he promotes Lincoln. But I just love how angry he is in the movie. And I know we're jumping all over the place, but I don't care. There's a scene where at the end of Terminal Velocity, he and Charlie Sheen are falling out of an airplane in a car. And Christopher McDonald, he goes to Charlie Sheen, give me your parachute.
Give me your parachute.
No.
As they're falling from 20,000 feet.
So this is such a reason.
It's really interesting when you're comparing those two villains from Terminal Velocity, like the nervous tics and quirks from Gandolfini to the overtop, you know, theatrics of McDonald. Like, he gets so angry when his gun runs out of bullets that he hits his gun. Like, he spends most of the time, like, having a tantrum after something doesn't go his way. And he's so angry when Charlie Sheen backs his car out of an airplane that he jumps onto the hood to try to get his car back. Because he has such a weird infatuation with that car.
And he has a weird, like, magnet belly that keeps him attached to the hood.
It is crazy. Well, until Charlie Sheen punches him so hard that he separates the magnet.
All right, so this was your idea. For a long time, you and I have talked about doing these two movies on a podcast, but you came across a website where they did a competition between two movies, and then you kind of pitched this to me. So where did this come from? The categories? You want to break down the categories we have and what our plan is for this podcast?
So I saw this, you know, we'd always been talking about doing these two movies, and we've always had these little side conversations about similar films that have come out pretty much at the same exact time. You know, that stuff has been going on for years, where like a script gets pitched and then someone else has another idea that's similar to it. And then two separate production companies start rolling with the idea. And, you know, here in 1994, we got two random skydiving movies that came out just a few months apart. I mean, it's just really, it's a really weird genre for studios to go all in on for big action movies. And so I always wanted to get a podcast where we talk about them, but we didn't know how to do it. And as you said, we came across this website that kind of faced different movies off. And I think the movie that I saw on this website that they did was Gladiator and Braveheart. And so then they kind of did their own scoring system. But with us being a little off center with a lot of our discussions and how crazy we get, we wanted to come up with better and funner categories to talk about. So here I think we've picked 11 categories, was it?
Yep.
11 categories that will break a tie if there is one. So it's like we've got best jump, coolest parachute design, who would win in a daring jump-off competition, who has the better sidekicks, the coolest title, the best character names, best one-liners, what movie is the most 90s out of the two, since they were both released in 94, best villain, best credit song slash musical instrumental score, and then the tiebreaker was best overall moment.
Yep. So, since we already talked about the villains in Terminal Velocity, do you want to talk about the villains in Drop Zone, and then we'll pick our winner in that category?
Yeah, yeah, man, that's a tough... It's really tough. Like, you've got... You've got... So, I was kind of thinking about this last night. I feel like James Gandolfini is a really stellar actor. Like, one of the better actors of the generation. And so, but... And McDonald's really good, too, in Terminal Velocity. I wouldn't call him one of the best actors around. But then you've got Drop Zone with the psychotic, crazy Gary Busey who brings it in every single movie.
Oh, man.
And then I feel like they've got a whole – his whole crew is just solid. Mm-hmm. So it's weird for me. Like, I feel like it's almost like a batting average where it's like if Gandolfini was, like, the, you know, the best player on – their evil bad guys baseball team, he'd be batting like 350 and everyone else is averaging like 250.
Yeah.
And then with Drop Zone, you've got Gary Busey who might be a 300 hitter, but then everyone else is in like the 280s. Like I feel like the average score for the Drop Zone villains is higher and it kind of brings them above the Terminal Velocity guys.
Oh, well, see, the way I kind of see it is with, so you have Ty Moncrief, played by Gary Busey, former DEA. I like... Gary Busey's never bad. But his associates like Kara and Deuce, they're just so murderous. Like, they're just walking around slaughtering cops and joking about throwing children out of planes. And they're just sort of... For me, they kind of felt a little bit caricature-y. Like, classic 90s too cool for school villains. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see that.
And then you have James Gandolfini chewing certs and Christopher McDonald just screaming. Like, they're not even really villains. Like, they're just... It's the weirdest plot, Tom. It's so weird. But I guess if we're going to say villains...
For which movie? They're both weird plots.
Yeah, so
they're both
like,
crazy plots.
So are we going to... All right, the plot in Drop Zone is strangely coherent. So they kidnap a hacker, then they're going to jump on DC during the one time a year they're allowed to score a massive haul. And then they parachute away into a dump truck. All right, you know what, Tom? I'm saying Terminal Velocity. What are you saying?
I think Drop Zone. Gary Busey does it for me. I love me some Gary Busey.
I mean, are they better villains? Yeah. There's like scenes where the villains are just sitting around mugging, acting too cool for school, and they're just straight up murderers. That I just kind of said, you know what? Like, I like how Christopher McDonald always fails. I like how Charlie Sheen spears both Gandolfini and Christopher McDonald. I like that during the final kiss in Terminal Velocity, James Gandolfini lands his parachute on top of him. It's insane. So, all right, so our votes are split on that one, right? Drop Zone and Terminal Velocity, 1-1?
Yes, they are.
All right, next, we're going to do Best Jump. So which movie has the best jump? Now, I sent you a link last night that's 3 pages long, and it breaks down all of the stunts in Drop Zone. I was just awed at what went into the Drop Zone stunts. I mean, they were flying every day, like tandem dropping people out. There's one stuntman who was a stuntman for Yancey Butler. And then, let's see.
He was the same stunt dude for Butler, Snipes, and
Jeter.
Michael Jeter.
Yeah, but they were like, and then they showed the cameramen who had full cameras on their heads. I mean, that's insane. So what do you think is the best jump?
Listeners need to think about too, like these are like the mid 90s cameras with the giant reels and boxes on them that they're like super gluing to their helmets, and these guys are jumping out of airplanes with them. These
are 40
these
times
the
weight.
The days of GoPros.
Yeah.
Yes. It's absurd.
So they're just, I think Terminal Velocity probably got some great footage, but Drop Zone, some of these scenes, I mean, like they talked about how the guy flew in the water. There's a scene where one of the characters flies into the water, and a real stuntman did that. And he's like, and they said he was lucky he didn't get a water enema flying down there, which is kind of funny. But it's, what do you think is the best jump in these two films?
You know, I've got so much love for Drop Zone that I think it's going to take the cake in some of these other categories. So I went against the grain here, and I actually picked Terminal Velocity for the best jump. And this is when Brody backs the Cadillac, Ditch Brody backs the Cadillac out of the plane with Chris Morrow locked in the trunk.
Yeah.
And I just think that scene is so well put together, and they could have gone so many other directions with that scene. Like, he drives the thing forward, he crunches McDonald's legs, so it's like, then why is he back up and drive it back out of the airplane? At that point, you could just keep the guy pinned, let him run out of ammo, then you just go around and grab her, you know, get her out of the trunk, and then you jump out of the, you know, out of the airplane. Instead, he actually backs the entire thing out, and it's a really good scene for, like, a mid-90s action movie. Like, you buy it. The visuals look really good.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost... I saw another review, so I'm kind of stealing this, but it's kind of Fast and the Furious, you know, 15 years before Fast and the Furious started chucking vehicles out of airplanes.
So, and also it's kind of the same plot, right? Where, all right, so you remember Point Break, he gets in with surfers with Gary Busey, and then this guy, he doesn't get in with criminals, but he gets in with a ragtag group to stop criminals.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So you're saying Terminal Velocity?
I'm going Terminal Velocity with the best overall jump. I don't think it's got the best overall, but Drop Zone has by far more quality jumps.
I mean, there's a scene where it's the big group together and each of the groups gets 10 points, and there's a guy doing a corkscrew in the air, perfectly controlled. It's an awesome scene.
That's cool. But and he like disappears into the clouds.
I'm going Terminal Velocity because of the car gag. Oh wow. So Terminal Velocity has a 3-1 lead right now. What do you It's great. It's great. So I guess, you know what,
Wait,
Tom?
So it's got, What's up? For you, it does for best villains.
Yeah. So you're, that's 3-1, but Drop Zone has plenty of chances to catch up. I guess we should break down the plot, right? Of each real quick, in case you haven't watched this. So Drop Zone is about a guy named Pete Nessip, which is Snipes, you know, just anagram. But then he's flying a guy and something happens on a plane and his partner is killed. And everyone thinks that it's his partner's fault because all these people died. Basically, Gary Busey and his crew rescue a guy from on a 747 from 38,000 feet in the air.
Yeah, and, prison break from a 747.
And then Snipes just goes after him, but he teams up with some other skydivers who will help him get into a DC jump so he can stop Gary Busey. And then Terminal Velocity is about a guy who calls himself a flying penis, Richard Ditch Brody. And he is he takes this woman on a skydiving thing. She falls to her death. He doesn't believe it, so it's a mystery. Turns out she's alive. He teams up with her, and she's the badass. He's Jack Burton of the group. He's kind of the wily guy who just wants to take naps. And together they foil some Russians who want to throw a coup in Russia, which could kill thousands. And Charlie Sheen is a gymnast who finally gets his gold. Russian gold. Is that good?
Russian gold. Love it. All right. Yeah.
All right, next. This is bad. So let's see. Better sidekicks. Who has the better sidekicks? Now,
you go for it.
This has to be... Okay, so this has to be Drop Zone. Just simply because in this one... I mean, I guess Charlie Sheen's the sidekick to Natasha Kinski. Because once everything gets going, she's the boss. There's really no sidekicks in terms... Like, she's not a sidekick, Krista. Like, she's a badass.
Correct. You've got... You know, you could, I guess, consider some sidekicks early on that they could have continued to kick with them on the side. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got the girl with the double broken legs and then his Ditch Brody's, I guess, airfield boss. And then the young kid that's the camera recorder that assumedly records Chris Morrow falling to her death. So it's like they've introduced these little side characters and then they end up kicking them to the curb. You know, 40 minutes in, once the bullets start flying, and it all becomes Charlie Sheen and KGB agents.
I love it. It's so crazy.
But I mean, you're right. And then, like, Drop Zone actually has a full gamut of supporting characters.
Swoop.
Like Swoop, Bob, and Selkirk. Like, those guys, I genuinely like. I wish they had more screen time because I was interested in them.
You sent me a text message last night saying, I love Swoop. You're like, Swoop is amazing.
Swoop is my shiznit. Swoop is awesome, by played by Kyle Secor.
I love it.
When maybe greatest sidekick of all time.
When we first meet him, he's pretending to be a window washer, then he just falls off a thing randomly. Oh, that makes me so happy. And so it's gotta be Drop Zone, right? We're gonna give it to Drop Zone, best sidekicks.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, and also I guess I don't know if Yancey Butler is a sidekick in this one, but she's a badass in this movie. I like her a lot. And did you know this role was originally written for Steven Seagal, and Steven Seagal dropped it. And then the role of Jesse Crossman, played by Yancey Butler, was a man. But then they cast Yancey instead, and she had them keep the punching moment where Wesley Snipes knocks her out.
I didn't know that. I knew about Seagal, which, man, this would have wildly changed this movie. I mean... The last time I think of Steven Seagal actually jumping out of an airplane was Executive Decision, and that didn't go so well.
Yeah, that ended poorly. And he wanted to live on that, too.
Yeah, I can't imagine him doing any better than Drop Zone. This may have been like a 5-minute movie.
What did you think about Butler in this movie? She's like, I actually believe, so you watch some of these movies and sometimes you just don't believe characters, but I believe Yancey Butler was a skydiving kind of badass.
No, I think so, too. She brings a sense of, you know, wiseassery to it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's more or less the Ditch Brody of Drop Zone. Like, she's a rebel and she's crazy, but she's got, you know, she's got empathy. She cares for her friends, but she's also, you know, she's wild and unpredictable, and she's a sarcastic, you know, wise ass. I love it.
Since this would be too practical for our list, we don't have like a best hero, but who do you like better, Pete Nessip or Richard Ditch Brody? And what I do like about both of them, sorry to interrupt, I like that they both have moments where they just look dumb. Wesley Snipes fails at skydiving and he just looks goofy. And this is a dude who's an absolute badass. He was in Demolition Man. I mean, some big films before this, and he wasn't afraid to look sort of silly. And he got beat up a couple times in this. Like, he wasn't an all-out tough guy. And then Charlie Sheen is just playing the dummy, which I love. So I like that both actors kind of went there. But who's your favorite hero in this?
Swoop. No, I think my favorite hero is probably, out of the two, it's probably Ditch Brody. I think I relate to his humor more, and I love his one-liners.
Oh, yeah.
Zingy, dry humor.
All right, so you want to do that? Best one-liners? Since that's one of our categories?
Yeah, so I ended up, so for better sidekicks, then I went with Drop Zone on that one.
Yep, so it's tied up now, man. 3-3. Oh, this is a battle. Oh, wait, what about the really cool guy in Drop Zone with the rocket launcher? Is he a sidekick?
He's pretty cool. The random surplus dude.
Who just walks out with a rocket launcher?
What's going on out here?
And then he runs back in and grabs his rocket launcher.
And then he stands in one place.
Blows up Charlie Sheen's car and then just laughs and gets riddled with bullets. Such a terrible idea. That's cool, though.
I love rocket launchers in this. But, all right, so we have best one-liners. And can I tell you my favorite one-liner of this entire film? Of all the films together. So Charlie Sheen finally gets with Natasha Kinski, and he realizes he's kind of a dummy and they've been using him. And he goes up to her and he goes, okay, so you fooled a guy who can't get his sideburns even when he shaves.
Dude, that's tough. Just the fact that, you know, a former Olympian is willing to admit that he can't get his sideburns straight. You know, that's about as humble as you need to get.
And then later on, when he's like, there's a safe. And she's like, safes are only for idiots. And then later on, he looks at a lady. And he's like, you want to slam? I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then there's a line where she says, I was trained to swallow a lot of things. He's like, I may have to marry you. And then there's the whole, is this a nuclear thing?
That line.
Yeah.
I can't believe that line is even in the trailer for it.
I was trained to swallow.
You swallowed the worm. I was trained to swallow a lot of things. Oh, dear lordy.
It's insane.
Why'd that make
it
in the trailer?
And then she like says there's nuclear power in there, and she gives him a cup. And then he calls it something really weird later that I forget what he said. But I mean, it's just, and then remember they're running in the desert and he's like, I'm gonna take a nap. Like, he doesn't want to run, and then she's like, we're running. He's like, I haven't stretched.
They're in the shootout, he pulls out the gun and he's like, my gun is broken. And then she goes, the safety's on. He's like, oh, right. And then he accidentally fires it point blank right into the dirt in front of him. Or they're in a, you know, they're in the argument in that random little coffee shop, and she starts tearing into him. Yelling. And he's like, pack the bags. We're going on a guilt trip.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. They're so good. Like, so 90s. So good.
And all the people in the diner look at him like he's the jerk, which I love.
Right, that's so, the type of Charlie Sheen, you know, dry sarcastic humor that I have always enjoyed. And I can't see, obviously this Terminal Velocity wins this category for me, but I can't see this movie working on any sort of other level without Charlie Sheen.
He gets it. He gets what's going on. That character has to be the dummy. He can't be the super suave guy. Does that make, like, he can't, he just has to be an idiot. Who's good at what he does, I guess. And he's a gymnast, and he didn't get... Charlie Sheen is a gymnast. It makes me so happy. But I do love... There's a scene in Drop Zone after Wesley Snipes' first major jump, when Wesley's just like, all right, yeah, yeah. When he's just so happy, he sells
that
moment.
He's happy that he lived through it, yeah.
He sells that moment really well. Because he's the straight guy in this movie. So in Terminal Velocity, Natasha Kinski's the straight guy. So Wesley never has a chance to be kooky. But I do love how happy he is after the first jump. He really dug that. That was good. All right. So right now we have a 5-3 lead for Terminal Velocity. I guess we should move into cooler title. What do you think?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. So Terminal Velocity or Drop Zone. Both are referenced many times in these films. But which one would you pick? Terminal Velocity or Drop Zone?
Man, I don't. This one was tough for me. I think I use Drop Zone more. I don't know how I can say in everyday talk, but like getting into the groove of something, like, oh man, I'm going to get in the drop zone. Like, I love being able to randomly reference this movie whenever I can, mm-hmm. but just actually knowing what Terminal Velocity even is in the first place outside of the movie scope, it's just a very cool term to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, I think it's got to be Terminal Velocity for the cool.
Oh, wow. So you're going Terminal Velocity for the coolness?
Yeah, just for the title, for how, yeah, love it.
I'm going to go Drop Zone because it's so literal. This whole movie is about landing in Drop Zone, which I kind of love. And you remember that article, they built Drop Zones in Florida and they paid a ton of money and got lawyer fees to build their own private Drop Zones? That was crazy on what they went through in Florida. They talk about, didn't they say something about floor crazy or something like that, and how many jumps they were doing in the air and how gnarly Florida was to shoot?
Oh, yeah. Painting seashells to get a different background for things. I mean, they went nuts on that movie.
Yeah, and I'm from Florida, so I can make fun of it. But I just like, we got to get to that drop zone. Hey, the drop zone was in a 3-mile radius. There's the drop zone. We got to hit the drop zone. Where's the drop zone? So it's one of the movies that features the word. I love when a movie says the word, it says the title a lot. Does that make sense? Like, you know, Hot Tub Time Machine. It's like a Hot Tub Time Machine. I just love hearing Drop Zone.
I'm actually saying the name of the movie. Yeah, I don't know if Terminal Velocity even mentions the title anywhere in the movie.
Because, oh, when they're on the plane, remember? And then he's like, you hit Terminal Velocity. And she's like, what's that? He's like, swish.
Very early on in the movie then.
Yeah, because they just use that in the beginning. She was really quick throwing, oh, no, the guy threw the body out. And then she just dove. And then that was a really intricate stunt that they pulled out to fool Charlie Sheen. Oh, man. And the
Russians. Yeah, it was.
Oh, man. And that poor fish tank. All right. So right now we have Terminal Velocity, let's see, with a 6-4 lead. Oh, wow. So we've covered best jump, best sidekicks. We've covered 5 categories. So how about this? Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll find the winner of this contest. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. And this isn't part of the category, Tom, but both of these movies had some pretty sick guitar licks in their scores. I love mid-90s, you know, when they're kind of depressed and the sun's setting, and it sounds like a really kind of jazzy guitar lick playing in the background.
Or during an action scene or a random moment, the guitar just screams to life.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, nothing says parachuting like a guitar lick, I would say. What do you think?
No, I think that's good. On that cue, Do you want to tackle best credit song musical score?
Yeah, let's do it. So what's your favorite?
I think I've got to go with Drop Zone on this, but Joel McNeely, who did the score for Terminal Velocity, it is a highly underrated score. Like, I don't think anyone would ever watch Terminal Velocity or think about it and go, you know, that had a pretty good score to it. But just on a general listen by itself, I mean, it's catchy. You know, got the big brass, the big horns, and then it's got those crazy guitar licks that are in it as well. But, man, Drop Zone's done by Hans Zimmer, and he's probably my favorite composer of all time. And Hans Zimmer bows to no man.
Nope.
And the fact that Drop Zone also threw in some NXS there at the very end wins it for me.
I mean, like Drop Zone got Hans Zimmer. Doesn't that make you happy?
I don't, man, and that's a tough get to get Hans Zimmer. I guess this was still early in Zimmer's career, but I mean, this was just before he got, I mean, he was known, but he wasn't a monster at that point yet.
No, but I was actually, just real quick before I forget, I was looking at the Tomato Meter scores for these movies, and Drop Zone has a 41%, Terminal Velocity has a 20, but both Terminal Velocity has a 5.5 IMDb, and Drop Zone has a 5.6. Do you think that's about right for these movies? Do you think one should be higher, one should be lower? What do you think?
Man, it all depends. It's such a subjective viewpoint to it. Personally, I think they're both at like, should be like an 8.0 and a 9.0 on the on the IMDb user ratings. I think it just depends on how much you can suspend your belief for 90 minutes and just enjoy it.
I think with Drop Zone, it's just a good straightforward action movie. It's not, there's nothing bad about it. It makes sense. It moves quick. It has fun. So, I mean, I think it should be at least like a 64. And then Terminal Velocity, everyone's like, it's big and dumb and stupid, but it's fun. This is a fun movie to watch. I mean, it's a cheeky blast. So, I mean, if I had to review it, I'd probably give it like a B+ and just talk about how stupid Charlie Sheen's character is.
Well, I think they both got bad raps, too. I mean, they came out there in 94, you know, like right on the tail of some really good action movies the previous years before that. I mean, primarily like Speed, which came out, what, June or July, just a couple months before. So it's like you're then comparing that to, you know, Speed and Point Break and a few others, and it's a tough comparison. I mean, if you didn't have that comparison level, I think these probably would be perceived a little bit differently nowadays.
And everyone was comparing these movies together, and I think like, oh, the two stupid skydiving movies. But you know what's crazy about Drop Zone? The director's, John Badham? And he directed, like, Bird on a Wire, Stakeout, Short Circuit. He did Point of No Return. He did War Games and Saturday Night Fever. Like, dude was a legit director. And then, did you know that David Twohy wrote Terminal Velocity? He went on to direct, like, Pitch Black and Perfect Getaway.
Did the whole Chronicles of, or the whole Riddick series, yeah.
And then that Darren Scarafin, he did Death Warrant before this, but since then he moved on to like House and CSI New York, like big moneymaker stuff. So there was talent on both sides of these cameras, both sides of the camera, yeah.
And the second unit director for Drop Zone was DJ Caruso.
Really? Oh, he went on to do Disturbia and stuff.
Yeah, and Eagle Eye.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some real talented, really talented people, as you said, that were involved with these movies.
Jeez Louise. But the score, we're going to give it to Drop Zone, correct, Hans Zimmer?
Yeah, I am.
All right, yeah, I'm doing Drop Zone as well. You can't beat the Hans. And NXS songs played twice. I love it when movies get their money's worth of in songs. Like Dazed and Confused and Slow Ride by Foghat, they play it like 8 times.
Oh, yeah, if you're going to have to pay out that band, you pay them out big time. Use that song.
Just use play it over and over and over. All right, I love that. All right, so we got best score, best credit song. Now, which one is the most 90s? Which movie, when you watch, is the kind of, what movie is a time capsule of the 90s better? Terminal Velocity or Drop Zone?
This one was tough for me. I battled back and forth on it. I kind of had to break it into categories. Like, I think Terminal Velocity dialogue is more 90s. Like those catchy zinging one-liners.
Yeah.
You know, the quick banter back and forth that Charlie Sheen is literally able to do with everybody that steps onto screen with him just screams 90s. But the score and the visuals, and particularly the action scenes of Drop Zone, are like vintage, I shouldn't say vintage, but like want to be mid-90s Michael Bay, but not quite there.
Yeah.
Like they're, I just, and like the closing credits to Drop Zone with the silhouetted like skydiver in front of the sun. I mean, that's just, that just punches 90s right into your face.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, and I think
damn, man, that rocket car, yeah. That rocket car, that just screams 90s too.
Do you think the plot, though, is more, Drop Zone probably has the more 90s plot, because can you think another movie like Terminal Velocity where the guy, the hero, is just a complete dipshit and the lady's the badass? Because in the 90s, they got softer. They weren't like the 80s where just a dude goes in and murders people. You had True Lies, which blended Jamie Lee Curtis's relationship with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You had Speed with Sandra Bullock, and Keanu, like, kind of blending that together. But none of those 90s movies featured just an idiot, right? Doesn't that feel a little, like, it feels more 80s. No, what does it feel? Am I making sense here? I just think Terminal Velocity is...
Absolutely not, none whatsoever.
Yeah, you're right. I'm struggling here. I'm like Wesley Snipes when he's learning how to skydive. Okay, so what I'm saying is Drop Zone just follows that 90s formula with the guitar licks, the weird credits, the very murdery villains, the kind of over-the-top kind of cool stuff. But Terminal Velocity, I think, was maybe a little ahead of its time.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that, especially with how they handle their main characters. They're definitely – I mean, it's – their character roles in Terminal Velocity are switched.
Yes. I mean, that's between, what I was trying to use.
Between
so
Chris Morrow
punk...
and
yep.
Rich Brody, yes. It's like they're switched, and that's a little ahead of its time. Like, you don't really start seeing that, at least in my opinion, with the awesome female ass kicker until, you know, much later.
All right, so you basically said what I was trying to mumble much more eloquently. They swapped roles in it. So then I guess that means we award Drop Zone with the most 90s? Everyone's confused right now listening to this, by the way. I'm confused, but Drop Zone's definitely the most 90s. Does that get a point or not?
I think it gets a point for being more 90s.
Oh, wow. So Drop
Zone. Not that that's a knocked Terminal Velocity, but Drop Zone is definitely more 90s. What is more 90s than trying to break into a DEA office or a, you know, a police footlocker and stealing drugs? I mean,
hacking too, dude.
1995 Bad Boys before Bad Boys.
I remember the net with all the hacking. Computer hacking was getting big. Remember Jurassic Park with the hacking? Like, everyone was hacking back then. Hackers that we talked about on the podcast. You should listen to the episode.
I don't think anybody hacked anything in Terminal Velocity.
No. It's just Terminal Velocity is a very kind of analog movie. Just mystery, Charlie Sheen spearing people, certs. A fast 350-mile car, some parachuting, and Charlie Sheen saying, "Want a slam?"
No, and then further, I guess, further to prove this point to how different Terminal Velocity is from other 90s movies is that rail rocket car. At the end of that, when it explodes, they straight up – now, I guess this is from Die Hard 2, but they straight up rob, or I guess tribute – Die Hard 2, when they pull the ejector seat and you've got that look down on the explosion and that ejector seat goes just whizzing by the screen and he's screaming through the whole thing. Guess that's a tribute to Die Hard 2, which I think came out in 1990.
What a great trailer moment, though. I mean, it's directly ripped off, but that was in the trailer and I loved it.
I love that whole scene.
I got good at swallowing things. I'm going to have to marry it. That's insane. Like, that's just... I'm not condoning it. It's just such a... I can't believe that's in movies. I remember hearing that and just going, what just happened? Why did that... Oh, man. All right. So right now, Drop Zone has the lead 8-6. This is tough. 8-6. So I guess we'll move on to the next category, and that's who would win in a daring jump-off competition. So should we take any character from any of these, or should we take the main characters?
I think we go with any character.
Oh, wow. So I kind of... All right. Do you think Swoop could have pulled off what Ditch could have pulled off?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if Swoop is as athletic as Ditch Brody. Probably not, since he's not a world-class gymnast. But Swoop just, he just doesn't seem to care. And he almost has like a reckless regard for his own safety. So he's willing to do anything if there's even the smallest chance of success in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't, he doesn't necessarily win the jump off competition for me, though.
You think Swoop does?
No, I don't. I actually think Jesse Grossman do.
Oh, Jesse Grossman?
Crossman. I'm sorry, I said her name wrong. Yeah, yeah, I think Crossman wins.
Oh, Yancey Butler, huh?
Yancey Butler.
Because she jumps out of a plane and just grabs on a bar for 20 minutes.
And then she purposely lets go. I mean, what I don't get with this scene, so she follows Gary Busey's thugs up in there, throw her out of the plane. So she just decides to jump, and she jumps onto like the tail, and she's hanging out there. And then Wesley Snipes and his buddies are all flying up, and they see her hanging there. And he's like, I know what this is. And so he jumps out of the plane, and then she lets go so then they can meet up in air and turn it into a tandem jump. But it's like, of all the people, why would she trust him to do that?
Well,
like,
why would earlier,
Bob or Swoop jump out?
Yeah, it's true. Do you think... I like Bob, too. We haven't talked enough about Bob in this movie, played by Rex Lynn from Cliffhanger. Rex Lynn from Cliffhanger. I liked watching him dive into the water. But
Rex
I think...
Lynn from CSI Miami.
And
just the middle-aged balding dude. That's it. Sky jumper, skydiver.
I love, though, that I think they just played back with the scene where she kicked him out of the plane, then grabbed him. And then,
I think that's exactly what it is.
So you think, so you're giving it to Jesse Crossman. Wow, that's, I got to give it to Ditch, man, because what he pulled off, he had a guy trying to kill him on the car, too, saying, give me your parachute. No. So I'm going to go with Ditch on this. But, dude, all right, who's the most believable person in all these films? I think it's got to be Yancey Butler. Would you, like, of all these characters that you buy into, who'd you buy into the most?
Probably Butler. I would probably agree with that. I think you've got to have a sense of, I don't know, you got to have something special to jump out of a plane every day of your life.
And she has
whether
that.
It's a little bit of crazy or not, and you got to have, like, a sense of style with it. I don't think you just see a normal, average, everyday person continually go up and, you know, fight gravity every day of their life. Mm-hmm. And she, I've never been around a skydiver, so I don't know what they are truly like. But in my mind's eye, I see Yancey Butler doing it.
So my good buddy Dan Abel, who I used to live with in Tallahassee, like went to college with him and we kind of hung out the other day. He has 107 dives under his belt. And he loved these movies. And I asked him which one he likes more, and he said Terminal Velocity. But he said the parachuting in Drop Zone's better. But it's just I think he likes Ditch.
I can see that. Yeah. I can get on board with that theory.
All right. So I said if we need a tiebreaker after the tiebreaker, Dan gets the tiebreaker. So if it comes down to that, Dan's vote wins it here. So right now it's 9. Drop Zone has 9, and Terminal Velocity has 7. So we should move on to the best parachute, the coolest parachute. What do you think? All right. So what do you think has the best parachute?
So with this one...
5, 9, 14... Oh, we have 16. Yep, so we have 2 categories left. So yeah, best parachute.
So I don't... Man, this one kind of gets me, because I think Ditch Brody's got the cool USA parachute in the opening scene, where he accidentally jumps into... Bernadette's party instead of the bachelorette party.
Yep.
So I love his just straight up, you know, representing America in that drop. But then at the same time, Drop Zone has the whole get up of outfits with the LED lights, the ribbons, you know, the streamers, the formations. So I kind of taken that, the whole costume into design, and I'm going with Drop Zone because of that. The night jumps with the LED lights is really cool.
All right, so they had all the kind of matching outfits, too. And they all look tailored to them as well.
Yeah, it didn't look like Chris Morrow's prison uniform jumpsuit that was just orange.
Yeah.
With black lettering on it.
I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, Yancey Butler, they definitely tailored all the things, I would say. Like, the outfits to her. But I gotta go with Terminal Velocity with the American flag, because... It felt like a nice callback to You know, the ski jump and what, The Spy Who Loved Me, where he has a Union Jack flag?
Okay, yeah.
Do you remember that scene?
I do not, but I know the Union Jack.
Yeah, so, I mean, he you know, Bond, played by Roger Moore, it's Roger Moore, just busts out a Union Jack parachute, and it's gangster. It's one of the classic moments of the Bond films, and I love that they tried to kind of match that with Charlie Sheen in Terminal Velocity. So, I gotta give it, but you're right, dude, the outfits look, like, they all look really cool, don't they, in those, like, it made me want to buy a parachuting outfit just to walk around with. And there's no parachute pants, and it was the 90s, which is mind-blowing. Did you miss those?
I do miss those parachute pants.
You used to wear those on set, I remember. And you're like, what, man?
I still try to.
And you're like, man,
I get airflow. If we ever get out of this quarantine, I'll be rocking them again.
And you're just like, we're on set for 16 hours a day. I need to wear some comfortable pants. And that's you and your parachute pants.
And I do my, oh, gosh darn it, who's the hip-hop star that wore them?
Vanilla Ice or MC Hammer?
Yes. I'll just go straight up MC Hammer dancing around.
All right, stop. Wait, no, that's Vanilla Ice. Wait, can't touch this.
Can't touch this. That's it.
The first
God,
time
we
I met
sound
you,
like idiots right now.
The first time I met you, you were recreating that dance. That was like in 2012.
I still try to. Yeah. Right now the knees hurt too much, so I'll have to ice down and jack up on some ibuprofen, but I can get it going.
That shuffle was good, man. That was nuts.
I try.
All right, so let's see. We have right now it is 18-10 for Drop Zone and 18 for Terminal Velocity. So that would give, well, the last one that's going to bring us to is Best Names. Who gets the points for Best Names? Now, I mean, Wesley Snipes is Nessup, which is Snipes, you know, like jumbled around. But I don't want to give him points for that because Roger Ebert wrote, why didn't they just call him Pissin instead of...
I did not realize that, so you pointed that out. That is awesome.
Yeah, Nessa for Snipes. But then I just like that Ebert said, why don't you call him Pissin? But you just can't beat Richard, like Dick Ditch Brody. Like Richard Ditch Brody. Like Brody. That's a straight up callback to Point Break. Then Ditch. Like that's a great name. Like the dude's name is Ditch. What was his name in Ferris Bueller? Scud?
Something like that. Yeah,
he had a weird name there. And so, I don't know. You just can't beat Ditch Brody. And as much as I love Pete Nessup, that's just not an action star name. Pete Nessup is on the case. I like, Ditch Brody this summer. Like, that works more for me. So I'm giving my point to Ditch.
No, I agree with you on that one, too. And I think part of that is, I think they came up with that cool name, and they had to figure out a way to explain the Ditch Brody name. And so you just get that random line of dialogue somewhere mashed in, like, into the 60-minute mark of the movie where he's like, yeah, started out as Richard, then it went Dick, and then somehow it turned into Ditch. And that's all they give for explanation of how this guy's name is Ditch.
It's so stupid, isn't it?
It is stupid, but I like it.
Yeah, it's perfect. So this something crazy just happened, man. It's a 10-10 tie. After 10 categories, each has 10 points. So that means we got to move into what? Best moment?
Best moment.
All right, so of all these films, which one has the best moment?
Oh, man. I watched this... So last night, I watched Drop Zone a couple days ago, then I watched Terminal Velocity yesterday, and then I started watching Drop Zone again, and then I just started rewatching this one particular scene over and over again, and at midnight last night, I went down, turned on our big 65-inch TV, the sound system, and I had my wife come out and just watch this scene. She hasn't seen the Drop Zone movie in years, but I had her rewatch this scene because I love it so much. And it's the swoop cutaway.
Oh, yeah?
So good. So it's, they're doing their drop formation. Skelkirk, one of Wesley Snipes' guys, goes to pull his chute, and only one line opens. So he's swinging uncontrollably by one line attached to, like, his right shoulder, one of his shoulders, and he's out of control. And he can't even cut his own string. And so they're all screaming at him to cut away, and finally he does it. And I just, man, the cinematography in that is so good.
Yes.
Like everything, you know, these guys were just doing jumps and jumps and jumps to get this type of footage to match everything. Like this guy's doing tumbles and then they cut to another camera angle and he's matching that tumble coming into frame. And then he levels out in midair and all of a sudden it just cuts over to swoop and he just yanks his harness right as Hans Zimmer's Pirates of the Caribbean theme song hits into a full back gainer, and he just goes rocketing towards Skelkirk, and I just love it. And it's like everything mixed into that with the sound effects of him flying by the screen. Sounds like a rocket just going right by you. Man, he goes and, you know, he pretty much saves the dude's life.
Yeah. That the aerial scenes are fantastic. I mean, Drop Zone wins hands down with aerial scenes. I mean, they are beautiful. Just the amount of time they spent in the air. That's a lot of money right there, would you say? Like, over and over and filming it? How much film did they go through?
Oh, it must have been absurd. Another thing with that is, I think they said, like, Steven Seagal was going to demand $15 million for that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably would not have been able to do anywhere near the amount of stunts they did in this movie if he had gotten in that and had kept that contract.
Mm-hmm. So Wesley Snipes sort of saved Drop Zone.
I would say he saved it.
All right, so my favorite moment's in Drop Zone 2, man. So Drop Zone gets the overall win, but it's just Gary Busey just flying headlong into his car. So he flies
his
into
getaway
Deuce.
Dump truck.
He kills the driver of the getaway car.
Oh my God.
I mean, so basically what it is, he jumps from the building, and he just missiles. Like, he looks like a missile. And he just, I mean, the timing on this is just so absurd. And it's such a silly kill for a villain, but I just love that he died in his own getaway vehicle.
It's really funny because, yeah, they're fighting up there on the 400th story of that high rise, and Pete Nessip, Snipes, grabs him and busts out the window, and they free fall, and as he pulls his chute, Snipes pulls his chute, he lets go of Busey. So then you see Busey's body just falling straight down. Then somehow mid-fall, he says, screw it, I'm not going out like this. Levels himself off and somehow gets into a controlled dive into the window of his oncoming getaway truck.
Yep.
And it's so funny because there's only like that one little clip where he writes himself and it just shows Busey at like a 45-degree angle just screaming. As he smashes into it.
And then
it's
Deuce
so
is
good.
Like, oh, man.
It's so good.
Yeah, I had to do this. And this is close, man. So I think, Drop Zone 1, 12, 10 over Terminal Velocity. But I'm happy with that. Are you happy with that?
I'm happy with it, too, because it's not a blowout. I mean, yeah. I think everybody thinks Drop Zone is an innocent but watchable movie. Like, I don't think anyone, you know, rants and raves to how great it is, but it always gets such a better reputation than Terminal Velocity. And so I think just being able to even elevate Charlie Sheen's action movie up a little bit does some justice to it.
Yeah, it's... my mind just went blank there. But now I have another question. Sorry about that. Which movie would you watch right now?
If I went back to rewatch something at this exact moment, it'd probably be Terminal Velocity.
Yeah, me too.
I think there's so much fun dialogue in that.
Yeah.
That I have not picked up on everything yet.
So many stupid little lines. He wants to take a nap. Just a little, the diner patrons being angry at him because he doesn't help out Natasha Kinski.
I mean, it's the type of movie that I think you can have going on in the background and you can pick up anywhere in that movie and have some fun with it. If you're trying to do that with Drop Zone, I think you're going to get lost.
Yeah, you have to pay attention to the plot of Drop Zone.
There's so much going on in the movie that I don't think you're not going to remember exactly where you are if you would just randomly hop into it.
And you'll never hear Wesley Snipes going, we got to run, I have to stretch.
Yes.
Silly. But no, man, I'm really happy with this, and I'm glad we finally found a way to tackle this. And I'm happy with the winner, and I'm glad we got to talk about both these movies. So I don't know. Right now, if you want to watch Drop Zone, it's on Crackle. For free. I don't know how long it is, but if you want to watch it with ads, definitely check that out. And then Terminal Velocity, I guess you got to rent. But I think, yeah, watch it. Like, I think Terminal Velocity is silly. It holds up enough.
Yeah, at this day and age where we're all stuck right now, who knows, when this podcast airs, maybe real life will be off its hiatus and we'll be back into gear. But as long as we're on lockdown, these are two legit movies to watch on a random Wednesday night. I don't know if I'd go full Saturday night with these. I feel like that's prime time good stuff. But a random weeknight, you know, these are going to give you 90 minutes of fun.
If you're working out from home, just put one of these on. If you're on the treadmill or, you know, Peloton, put it on and watch it.
Oh, yeah.
No,
you could just work out to the 90s guitar solos.
And we one thing we haven't touched on is James Gandolfini's death in Terminal Velocity. So I love how Kinski and Sheen are finally kissing. Then he lands on top of him, which I have no idea how that happens. People keep busting up behind Charlie Sheen in this movie, and it's hilarious. But he dies.
That is a brutal fight, too.
Yeah,
we could almost cover that on our final fights setup, but that's a brutal knockdown, drag-out fight between Gandolfini and Sheen there at the end.
All right, so you know what? Maybe we should save it, and we'll talk about it on the final fights, because it's so funny. And we can also promote Drop Zone.
We could do that.
All right, let's do that. So we'll save it. But, yeah, but I do love the ending, man. He just flies into the wind turbine. And then Charlie Sheen's face goes, ew.
Yes. The blade's just dripping with goo.
James Gandolfini had some pretty gnarly roles in the 90s. True Romance, Crimson Tide. He popped up in some good movies.
He did. And he was an a-hole.
Hey, well, this was fun, man. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for Tom, what is it, Ditch, Dreisamer, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.